I get it 100% on a policy side. I get why they're doing it. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I do understand that AI has the potential to truly change how we think about military and intelligence.
Welcome to the AI Decodes the System podcast. I'm your host, Amber Ivy, also known as AI. AI Decodes the System is a series of podcast interviews with industry experts and everyday people who will help explain topics related to policy, tech, data, law, and other current issues in plain language. The goal of this podcast is to help close the knowledge gap in a world that's moving fast and inundated with a lot of information. So sit back, grab your notebook, and enjoy the show.
Hey folks, it is another week. You are here with the go-to girls for AI, Marcy Newell, and me, Amber Ivy, aka AI. So we're super excited about a lot of new advancements, not fully new. Some things are within a week, so still counting the news of the week. We're really excited about some of the new things that are happening. This week, we'll make sure to dive deep in a couple topics, but we're going to go pretty lightning fast through the other topics just so we can dump all the stuff that we have, because the last few weeks, we haven't been able to get through it all. So we're going to try our very best to get through a lot of different topics, and we'll dive in on a couple. With that being said, Marcy, what's up? What's happening this week?
All right. So, by the way, this week I'm going to be pretty calm because I know last week was a little intense, but we do have so many updates. I actually had to cut it down, like you said, because there's just so much stuff that's going on. So we're going to start off kind of heavy because last week we discussed AI laws and policies, and we were talking about how quickly these orders could happen. So as soon as we dropped that video, like 1 hour later, Biden created an executive order. So I was like, oh man, we were like right at the cutoff line. So I kind of want to start with that so that we can kind of connect last week and this week. So it was called, if you want to look it up for yourself, the executive order states that it's addressing U.S. investments in certain national security technologies and products in countries of concern. Now, I know that's a long title. You're like, what the heck does that have to do with AI? So I'm going to just go straight to one primary section that's relevant to AI, and that's in section 3. So one of the big important points is that now the U.S. is requiring certain companies, well, not certain companies, it's requiring companies to notify the Secretary of Commerce and the Secretary of the Treasury and any other relevant departments. And let me quote exactly so I don't, you know, randomly paraphrase. So section three states that later on they can add or remove technologies and products in the semiconductor and microelectronics, quantum information technology, and artificial intelligence sectors. Now, I know that's a mouthful. So what does that have to do with anything? Well, right now there is a huge AI shortage, AI chip shortage, especially from NVIDIA, right? So this is specifically relevant because last week we were discussing how different companies were trying to import more AI chips to China.
Right.
And now the government's like, no, we're going to start regulating these issues. So the purpose of me even bringing this up, of course, that's a big impact on the economy. But I also want to, let me not push it so far, but how is that going to, how does that really affect innovation? Because if now we actually have a product that so many other countries want, right? It's putting us as the market leader. They want this product from us when typically we're the ones going to other countries and importing from them. How is that going to affect so many of these other countries being able to not only innovate, but advance at the same rate? So I think that's like a huge point of discussion because we know that we are in alliance with so many countries. If they're only limiting, for example, let's just use China. And then other countries are like, well, could that also happen to us if you're having a shortage? How are we then going to keep up as other economies that we're not as advanced as you? Is that going to happen to us? I'm sure they're thinking that as well, even if we're allies. So I think having this shortage brings up so many issues with in our economy. So I know you're the law person. You can help us with all the government stuff. So what do you think about how this is going to affect us in innovation, being with our allies, even with people who we're not allies with? How do you think this executive order is going to affect us?
So I think I understand what you're saying when it comes to innovation, right? I get that we want folks to innovate. The good thing is NVIDIA is based here in the U.S. So it's good for the U.S., right? But it's not good for what they call countries of concern, which does include countries like China. Because what the U.S. government is really concerned about is that if they allow countries that they're technically not friendly with right now advance in technology sectors, that these advancements could actually give them benefit on the military side and the intelligence side. So they could have complete advantage over the U.S. and its allies with these advanced technologies. So I believe the hope of this order is to like counteract some of that and regulate and monitor U.S. investments that might help these countries get a hand up, right? Because U.S. is all about, I'll leave this myself. U.S. says it promotes like open innovation and the want to do that. But please believe at the end of the day, we're going to protect our interests and our borders. So this, I think, was really a military / intelligence play, less of like, we want to stop innovation. That's where the reading for me was.
Yeah, so I think we probably are going to have to maybe sacrifice. Well, maybe not on our end, but because we're here. But I wonder how that's going to affect, because I'm thinking from like the business core, you know, our business side, the marketing side, because, you know, that's what my channel is about.
Right.
So I always think, because it's like a ripple effect, right? Because, okay, we're good right now. But then what happens if they start implementing more policies about, well, how do you do your AI business over there? So it's like, I understand. Mm-hmm. And I do think, you know, what you said is the most important, of course. But the trickle down effect to the economy at home, if there are going to be maybe job losses because of AI, and if we can't then expand to other countries because they're limited in AI, that's eventually going to trickle back to us. So it's like, we're kind of like in that catch 22, you know, caught between, what is the quote? Mm-hmm. The stuck between a rock and a hard place. So, so what do you think about that? So like the timeline, I'm not even sure.
I'll put on a business hat. So on a business hat, if NVIDIA was TSM, or that semiconductor company, and they were doing the AI, and then they were told they could not import to us, that would be a huge problem. Yeah. Because NVIDIA is a U.S. company and is the leader in AI chips, as far as I understand. We're okay right now. I actually think it makes it where China has to become even more advanced to get to the level they need to be, and actually creates competition in China for their companies to go all in to figure it out. I think that's not a bad thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's a lot. I mean, my mind was like,
I forgot the second.
Go ahead, say it again.
I said, I forgot the second thing. I said two hats. I only put on one. So on the business side, I do think it's going to actually push competition because NVIDIA is already at the front. Now China will figure it out. I'm not worried about them figuring it out. They already figured out a whole bunch of stuff. They will figure it out. Again, if it was here, I would be a little bit more concerned if we were the only ones, or we were bringing in from other borders. The other piece is like on the legal side, I get it 100%. And the policy side, I get why they're doing it. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I do understand that AI has the potential to truly change how we think about military and intelligence. Like we were talking about how even a couple of weeks ago, someone's smartphone can listen to your keystrokes and hear what you're doing. So if those are the possibilities of the future, intelligence is going to change so drastically. So the U.S. has to get ahead of that to be able to even compete if they're thinking about it in that way. So that's my thoughts on that.
And I hope we advance just as fast and as much, you know, it's a lot. I don't know. My head was spinning when I was reading that. So I'm just like, what could happen? Mm-hmm. So I was like, let me calm down. Can't always foreshadow everything, but you know.
Living today. All we got is today. And not even today. We got this second.
Pretty much. All right. So next up, we have something really interesting. So it's with IBM. They made an announcement that they're collabing with Microsoft. And it says to help joint clients accelerate deployment of generative AI. Now, you know me. I'm always reading between the lines and trying to find connections that may or may not be there. So this is just my opinion, just as a disclaimer. But, you know, I'm thinking of last week. Or was it the week before? Recently, within the last 2 weeks, when, of course, we're talking about Llama 2 with Meta and with Microsoft. And I'm like, wait a minute. So IBM with Watson, which is their AI software, they are probably, they have one of the most advanced when it comes to like research topics. They are actually have
and in medicine.
More of an, say it again?
And medicine.
And they have one of the most, I think, advanced systems for research, right? So when I heard Microsoft, you know, finding new BFFs together, and I'm like, wait a minute. If we have Meta with Llama 2, right, the ability to, I mean, we already discussed it. It's amazing, right? Trying to implement their research model. And if Microsoft then has Azure, I know I probably say it wrong every single time.
You got it. But, got it this time. Yep.
So if we have IBM with research, we have Llama 2 implementing for the purpose of research, we have Microsoft having the Azure business to business consumers, then they also have the Microsoft Office suite that's able to deploy certain systems to millions of U.S. citizens at corporate and a university level. I'm like, so BFF, Microsoft being right in the middle, I'm like, that is like the perfect power team to really start putting a new larger system to everyone in the U.S. like quickly. And when I saw this, I mean, once again, it's my opinion, but I was like, I wonder if people starting to realize how valuable that partnership is, even if it's not like they're not immediately connected, like, you know, Meta and IBM right now in that specific sense, but
they're not, but I understand what you're saying.
That connection for me, I was like, you know, just perked my ears up a tiny bit, like, wow. Especially because for research, you know, that's my field. So I was like, what is going on, Microsoft? Because they are making extremely powerful strategic partnerships. So I was like, I hope people are paying attention. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, so I was looking at the press release they sent out. So they talked about a few things. So one, I'll talk about in order of importance for me. So the first was like IBM, I'm now mad I sold the stocks, but the stock market is also going down. So I guess I'm okay. But either way, I am mad that I sold some stocks too early. Anywho, you can always buy them again. Anywho, so IBM, I don't know why I keep saying IBM and Microsoft are coming together for a few things. They said one was like enterprise search. So being able to develop a extraction tool that can pull out knowledge and retrieving information from vast databases. So that is a something that's needed currently in the field, and using generative AI to do that would be amazing. Because so many companies have access to all this information. And a lot of people, even a few people have contacted me about how to use generative AI to pull the data out of their databases. So the fact that Microsoft even and IBM are thinking about doing enterprise search, I think that's huge. Second is procurement and what it looks like to combine their resources to automate sourcing and procurement processes. Procurement in general is not a good field. I almost said garbage, but I said it anyway. But there's a lot of issues when it comes to procurement or trying to get new technologies and sourcing new technologies or sourcing new vendors and things like that. There's a whole issue there. So the fact that they're actually coming together and they're two of the big players in the procurement space, especially in government contracting, if they can come to a solution for us to understand how we do that, that would be amazing. Third on my list, or third on their list, is content generation. So they're thinking about content generation from a different way. So more so focused on financial institutions and what it means for them to use AI to create content or personalized content. So imagine with them working with a company where they can process and summarize your financial reports and then convert them into an audio version. They were talking about that. And then the last area, which I think is the most important out of all the ones they mentioned, is around IBM Consulting using Azure's OpenAI service. Mm-hmm. Their hope is to use it in healthcare. So they're going to take it to automate the review of complex medical records to assist healthcare professionals and basically provide them with a virtual assistant. This is something I've been waiting for since OpenAI actually released ChatGPT for the public, because we can literally reduce a huge administrative burden. We can enhance the clinical experience. I have health issues. So for me, this is like a game changer. And full transparency, I've used ChatGPT to look at my labs. Y'all can judge me if you want to, but I've used it in that way myself. So now that there's a tool that can help augment and support doctors in the medical field, I think that's going to change the game and people are going to get the diagnosis that we didn't have before. So I'm here for it.
And cross-reference information, like to reduce those mistakes and see what's going on. So, I mean, I'm excited to see where that goes. Like, it seems like such a small announcement, but I'm like, read between the lines, people, what is going on?
I think it is big, because you got two power players. IBM is like the old school. Both of them are old school gangsters who've been in this game for a very long time. Yeah, so they've been in for so long. So the fact that they're coming together, that to me is wild. The other piece that was interesting in the press release, they talked about how if you get those services, they'll partner you with an AI consultant, a generative AI consultant. So they have like over 1,000 consultants that can literally come in and work with your company. So I believe a lot of people, when that becomes available for the public, they're going to hop on that and sign up for those services for sure.
Yeah. So it's exciting, man. We're only on like what, two announcements already?
Deep. But we're not going deep on the others. So we got into our deep stuff. We'll go quick through the rest. And I may commentary that isn't too long, I promise.
Yeah, we do have a lot to talk about. So now next up, we have something a little bit more fun and interesting because I know recently if you are on Snapchat, you probably heard about or experienced the issue with the Snapchat AI bot, you know, that went rogue. Well, they called it a glitch. So basically, users were being ignored when they were trying to chat with the conversational AI bot. And then they found like this random kind of like dual tone colored image. And people thought it looked like their ceiling. They thought that it was maybe taking pictures of, you know, within their household. Wow. So people were really worried about their privacy. Like, what's going on? Is this AI like taking over my phone or whatever happened? But then Snapchat came out and it said, okay, no, it was just a temporary glitch. But you know, users were like, what about my privacy? What's going on? It was a crazy.
There's no privacy.
So it was a crazy scenario, but it just shows you like everything's still not perfect. There's going to be glitches. There's going to be issues. We really don't know on the back end what really happened, you know, so I can't speak for the company. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's a crazy situation. Okay. So next up, of course, you know, every week we try to bring you something helpful to help you with AI and try to get into the AI industry. So Google now has the generative AI learning path courses, right? So they do have 10 of them.
I feel like I need drums for that.
And then, so really there's no excuse because so many people talk, okay, well, how do I learn? And it's like, well, they're free. So let me go through them really quick. And each one takes about 1 day to complete so that you can really start learn the vocabulary.
And how many are in them? How many modules total?
There are 10. 10 courses. Okay. So the first one is the intro to generative AI. Number two is the intro to large language models. Number three is the intro to responsible AI. Number four is generative AI fundamentals. Number five is intro to image generation. Number six is encoder decoder architectures. Number seven is attention mechanisms. Number eight is transformer models and the BERT model. And number nine is create image captioning models. And number 10 is intro to generative AI studio. So there a lot of free tools to learn pretty much everything to get you started in one field of, you know, AI. There has to be something that interests you in that list, right?
Oh yeah.
To even review. And like there's I said, plenty. Each one only takes one day.
Go ahead and I'm ready to get into it myself. That's a really good list.
Yeah. So it's just something. You can learn something, right? All right. So next up we have another news report from Tencent, which is a Chinese company. And they released that they believe that they're actually going to create one of China's most powerful AI models for gaming, for cloud software, and in the financial tech industry. And they plan on releasing that at the end of the year. And if you don't know who Tencent is, it's one of the companies, for example, that they make WeChat in, in Asia. This is, like, think about it, like, probably one of the most popular, you know, chat apps. So it's a huge company. So it's extremely interesting to see. I'm like, wow, okay, that's a big statement to say you're one of the best now in China.
Oh, yeah.
I know earlier this year they were having some issues. Huh? Say it again.
I was saying clearly they must have something to back it up.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, next week we can probably talk more about the Asian side of the tech companies. Because to be honest, they have more advanced systems. I'm just going to put it plainly. Some of their systems are far more advanced as far as their usage, but that's only because in China they have an AI infrastructure already set. So it's much easier to start expanding certain software because everybody's already interconnected. We don't have that type of infrastructure implemented yet to the level that they do, right? Like that's they can see when you don't fill up your garbage cans properly, people. Okay, it's deep, right? You may not be able to get on the bus if your score ain't right. So. Some stuff you want to fight social, for.
Yeah, she's referring to the social score that China implemented some years back that basically deems you if you do not behave in society and practice social harmony, which is very big in China.
Yeah. So be careful what you ask for. We may not want to be that advanced because if I have to get on the bus, I don't need to check my social score. So that's a lot. Especially if they would see these YouTube videos. They were like, no, man, you're not getting
rejected.
All right. So, and then similar kind of topic this week, I need to double check, but in Beijing, I believe it was the 14th, they made an announcement that they're going to also start implementing more AI regulations. They had already like 24 guidelines, but now they're going to try to make it more strict. So I wonder, because if I believe this was like around the 14th when they said this, but we made our executive order on the 9th, I believe, which was a few days later. I wonder how they're going to adapt their new regulations in response to the executive order that happened. So we may have to do maybe a quick. You said what?
So I don't know about that one. So that's something I would definitely need to think about.
Yeah, because, you know, retaliation as far as, you know, what are we going to do in response? We know how that goes. So it's an interesting topic. I have to look that up later, and then we can maybe post like a quick, you know, 5-minute update to let people know about the regulations. That way you don't have to wait all week, and then, you know, you can just be caught up. Okay. Next up we have, this is more of like a quick dilemma, because with all of these new regulations and policies, I also want individuals to start understanding that once we actually do implement AI, many of these companies on the back end, when we're looking at their requirements for new employees and hiring and all of these issues, they always, like, it'll be like one sentence. It'll be like, oh, highly trained professionals or highly educated individuals, because we know that with AI, a lot of companies are also letting a lot of people go. Okay. That means that the individuals that are going to come in to take these AI jobs, they do want them to be, they're going to be more trained. They're going to be highly educated. They're going to have a higher level of skill set. So even though there are a lot of free courses, there are a lot of just videos and tutorials and all these people giving information, I always have to pose a very serious thing, because I don't give false hope. right? My main priority as far as educating people is to bring people to reality. I'm not going to give you this fake, false perception of what can possibly happen. So I need for you guys to understand the competition is going to be serious. Because if you think all of these jobs, if you're not an entrepreneur, you're not doing things on your own, and you're not building your AI apps, and you're thinking, oh, I'm just going to find a job that pays me, you know, $500,000, $900,000. In the beginning, that may be true. But until you start looking at the requirements of education that you need in order to enter those fields, you better get a quick reality check. Because yes, the courses are great to help you, especially if you have your own business or if you're trying to enter the field. But you have to have a true understanding of the competition that's going to start coming out. This is like the real shark week, because now you're going to start meeting people who are extremely trained. They're competitive. And sorry, they won't have empathy. They won't have sympathy for you. So every single time, every week, I'm going to just pop that in. Don't fall for these people telling you it's all going to be sunflowers and rainbows, because you're going to start realizing, oh, you mean there are people who can actually do this because they're trained mathematicians? Yes, darling, it is. This competition is going to get serious. So start educating yourself.
Let me jump in on that one. I want to say, because regardless of your field, the idea of expert has kind of gone out of the window. So an expert is supposedly trained 10,000 hours in a particular topic. So just a reminder, regardless of your field, whether you're going to go into AI or not, just make sure whatever you're doing, you're trying to be the best and you're continuously learning. That's the main like message out of this. Like, you want to be the best at what you do. You want to find your niche. Like, where's your intersection with this world or with the new things that are coming on the horizon? Because you can be an amazing doctor who utilizes AI tools in the healthcare field, just like we've heard. Or you can be an amazing entrepreneur who use some of these tools to grow your product in some way or another. So I want y'all to realize that whatever you do, just do it at the best ability. Even if it's not AI or these things, you should always try to be the best at your field and try to figure out what your niche is or the thing that only you can do that folks will always pay you for. Like, if you get very clear about that, it's very hard to be unemployed when you have that niche and folks know you are the go-to. So figure out how to be the go-to for whatever it is that you do.
Exactly. That's why I say entrepreneurship, you know, that's the whole reason I started my channel, is to tell people, look, you need to look at what you are capable of. Don't just be dependent upon what other people tell you or give you, but you just have to be aware of everything. I love your balance, because I know I can be extreme on one side, but, you know, my channel is still about business and marketing and entrepreneurship, you know, so I just want people to be, you know, self-reliant. And then just don't get caught up in the hype. It's like, always look out for yourself, people, man. Like, find out, like Amber said, you need to find your own skill sets and make it the best.
Oh yeah.
You know what else I hate? I have to mention, I know probably people think, what? Like, oh my gosh, why? But I have to say it, because it's like this mentality of people that say, it's just me against me, you know? Don't worry about me. Just, it's like they think the competition is just when I look in the mirror. It's just competition is just me. I have to be better than myself. And I'm like, look, that's the psychology side. You have to push yourself to be the best in life, yes. But then you step out the door and then reality hits you. You're still competing against other people in this world. Even if you're an entrepreneur, even if you're starting your own business, there's still competition. Yes, internally, you do have to try to push yourself to be the best version of yourself, to become self-actualized. But please don't be delusional. It's like, I'm sorry, I love motivation and inspiration, but you cannot be delusional. You're still competing against somebody. Go ahead and try to run some ads and you think it's you against you, and you don't realize there's 2,000 other people trying to sell the exact same product to an affiliate network. Okay, like, be real, people. So I just like to snap the bubble, because, you know, not because I'm a pessimist, but I'm a realist and I want the best for you. And I want you guys to thrive, to be successful, and to not fall into the hype of, you know, delusion. So that's, I have to say it. I mean,
Marcy's, we need to call those something. We need to figure out a name for when you have your moments of marketing. Marcy's marketing moments. There we go. MMM. A lot of words. Go ahead.
I thought next would say it's the negative. It's like this negativity of reality. It's like, but no, it's like, I really want the best for everyone. you know, because I feel like I have to be like, you know, the sister that someone doesn't have is like, look, I want you to be successful. I want you to follow your dreams. I want you to have everything. Look, AI has huge opportunities, but I would not be ethical if I did not tell you the other side so that you can prepare.
Oh, yeah.
That would be that I don't care about you if I don't prepare you for the reality. And then mm-hmm. you do all the other positive things around it. But as long as you're aware, it's just awareness. That's all. You know, no, it's a whole bunch of these lying motivational speakers on here. So I got to tell people the real. I can't help it. Sorry. Go they bother it. Me every week.
That's clear. You need to take a template for that or not a template. Take a notepad and just write down what's happening.
I need a diary.
Yeah,
dear diary. That's
dear diary.
There was another fake expert today on YouTube. Today they tried to lie to people again.
But that's reality, though, right? Like, let's not pretend like with the invention of the internet and access to information, it is a lot of folks who are just selling hopes and dreams because hopes and dreams mm-hmm. sell. Let's all be honest; we all have bought into something that may not have been true. So you just got to be wise about how you interact with the content on the YouTube, even our content. Like, I don't believe in listening to anything full stop without doing your own research. So even as you're learning from us, most of the time, YouTubers put in the, in the description or whatever, in the description of the episode about what's happening and try to link you to the things that are happening. Take this mm-hmm. opportunity to learn more so you can see how it happens. Because every time, even on my podcast, when I talk about these topics, I'm like, I ask folks, what do you recommend? And they say, just learn. Like, learning is the only thing you can do to combat the information that folks are putting out there, because otherwise you're not going to know, because you don't know what you don't know.
But at least with us, they know they're not going to get garbage and a whole bunch of trash. So,
oh yeah. Well, sometimes
welcome to the side of reality, people. Welcome. you have found your tribe. We do know, you know my phrase. This is a no public relations zone. Okay, you're not going to get PR from me. I'm going to give you the hardcore truth without any bias.
But PR should also be true.
You said what?
PR should also just be true. I was like, they should just make that true in general. But I get what you're saying.
Yeah, but you
like,
know, not, they mix it with their own little narcissistic lies.
Sound good. Yeah.
Anyway, all right, let's move on. So next up, we do have something funny. So there's a company called Air AI, and they're a customer service chatbot. And it was kind of like an interesting video. A customer was called from the Tesla. Because they were doing like a Tesla customer service call. And I was like, wow. So like the person at first didn't even know that this was like an AI person. And I looked in the site and it's like, they can hold a conversation between 10 to 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow. Like my mind was blown. So how do you feel about being called by Tesla? If it was an AI customer person, you thought they were real.
Yeah, I expect it. I listened to the thing. You could tell if you actually were paying attention, you could tell there was a delay. Like when it gets better, the delay will not be as quick, but you can tell it was a delay and it was still kind of robotic. So even when I heard it, I was like, you can still kind of say Tesla's one not calling you. That's not how they operate. So if you have a Tesla, they don't call you. But that's just how it works. But I do understand how it did sound human enough where I was not paying attention, if it was like a company that I know calls me, I would have listened to the person and I probably never figured it out. It was AI. I can really say that.
I don't know. It's like, I wonder if that's just going to now be like a thing where people question, like, do we ask them, are you AI? Are you real? You know, because it's already hard, like trying to get a human. You said what?
And see if it answers.
Yeah, so it's like, I just wonder if that's now something that has to be implemented, you know, more laws and policies. Like, do you have to make a disclaimer to the customers, hey, this is an AI customer service rep? And then is it going to give me the option to then request a human agent, human representative? Because I know I hate calling customer service and they put you through that whole process. And I'm just like, please, human rep, agent, representative, person. It's like, what term do you use for your system?
So brand. I can, That's the main part. The louder you get.
Look, this is how old I am. You see this?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Shit, like, what does the Gen Z do now? This? And I'm like... It's like, yeah, I'm in my 30s, no, people.
They definitely should consider laws about, like, kind of like the spam. So we got there with spam, right? So spam now, you mm-hmm. know, if you're going to text, it's likely spam or phone call. At least my phone, it tells you it's likely spam. I imagine that they're going to have to put regulations in place where telecom companies are going to have to, or companies that are using telecommunications are going to have to be able to tell folks. But again, that has to be a law that's passed at the federal level where they mm-hmm. say, hey, this is a problem. So hopefully folks are thinking about that, especially after AI Air released that. And it went pretty viral. So I think a lot of people still saw it. But we have to get to the point of the law should have to require that. I know they've been talking about laws where even on content online that you'll have to put in there that it was written by AI. We're going to have to get to mm-hmm. that point at some point because one, AI also needs to know when it's AI versus mm-hmm. human. So how it's learning and training, and humans should also very much so know. And there's also, I think I was on some site, I can't remember where it was requiring it for pictures that if the AI picture was generated, you had to tell the person. So I know people are doing things on their own, but that has to come from top down for sure.
Yeah. It's a lot. All right. So next up, this actually is part of more like the marketing AI news. So mm-hmm. IBM is partnering with the US Open, for tennis, to develop a digital experience so that tennis fans can I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do yet. So I don't know if it's going to be like maybe mobile experience or just to get more people feel like they're there or, you know, some sort of immersive experience. I'm not sure yet, but they are going to use that partnership to create some sort of experience for the US Open.
Okay.
So the marketing aspect of it is like, man, if you don't have, let's say you are trying to have, if you do have a marketing agency, you really have to now start implementing like an AI sector for mm-hmm. your agency. Oh, yeah. And is that going to start reducing marketing jobs? Because now they can use AI software to make videos and photography and immersive experience mm-hmm. and event. And it's like, that's going to reduce a lot of new marketing jobs as well. And I was like, wow, mm-hmm. Because we have to think about the photographers, the videographers, the assistants to people, the people who make props. If they're mm-hmm. doing everything with AI, man, that can also be a big cut of profit for many companies if they are not implementing AI into their marketing agencies.
So, AI and AR for sure are going to have to be integrated in the future because one, it's been hot as Hades all summer. Most mm-hmm. people did not want to get out as much. So imagine where you could virtually attend or go through an AR experience or a VR experience or something where it's literally allows you to literally drop into the open, not open, the Open, US Open, allows you to drop into that. So there's just so many things that are going to have to happen because it's hot as heck outside. I'd rather stay in for the most part until after a sundown. But entertainment is going to have to change as it relates to outdoor spaces, particularly in the South where it's hotter than most places during the summer.
Yeah. Oh, man. So we still have so many updates. It's crazy how much stuff happened this week. So, all right. So next mm-hmm. up, we have Meta AI, and they partnered with CMU Robotics, and they created, this is for like a real robot. And a robo agent, and they call it, they say it's just developing non-trivial skills. And it looks like it's going to be more for like tactile actions when I saw like moving objects. And I just I was like, wow. I mean, I'm sure you guys seen that, but I just wonder how much faster it's going to improve, especially to like help people with like disabilities when they don't have like range of motion and things like that. So I just thought it was so cool how it's actually going to start helping more people, right? We have to have some sort of positive, you know, how we're actually using AI to help humans. Oh, yeah. So I thought that was just an amazing thing when I saw it. So you guys can go and check it out and look that up to see all the videos that they have because it's so interesting. Next up, Adobe Express is finally out of beta. So that's good. I've been testing it probably for like the last, I don't know, month, 2 months, something like that. And I actually, you know, before I never was really using Adobe Express, But then I started using it. And I was like, oh, wow, I have access to so many more tools and resources and apps on it. So it's like so helpful. You can think about it like Canva, but like on the more advanced
on steroids.
Level. So, I mean, it's amazing. So if you haven't checked it out, definitely check out Adobe Express. Because it's hosted on the cloud, you can use it online. It's not like you're going to need a desktop like to run Photoshop or something. So it's definitely approved by me. I really like it. Next up we have, more AI tools from Google. If you go to ai.google.com, I meant to say it earlier, they have like 60 plus AI tools that you can start using. Yeah. So definitely start checking these tools out. We try to bring you, you know, free tools, paid tools in a way to, you know, diversify what things that you can use. So, I mean, there are just so many, but yeah, definitely go and check out Google because they're really coming out with amazing stuff. Next up we have Azure. They have a scale generative AI. And they said, I can't even read my own handwriting sometimes. My handwriting is terrible. Y'all know that means I'm smart, y'all. But this is garbage. I can't even read my own writing.
That's fine. We can go to the next one.
So it says, it says that now they're using the NDH100 virtual machines, and they're trying to expand the Azure OpenAI services for customers. So it's just showing that, once again, they're trying to make things easier, more advanced for their customers. So now that when you're starting, trying to find a company, I definitely recommend Azure, because they have a lot of amazing tool and advancements. So yeah, I definitely recommend you guys check that out too. Yeah. So next up, we have Open AI acquired the team at Global Illumination. And that is a startup using AI to build creative tools, infrastructures, and digital experience. And the reason I brought this up, it's because now I wonder if not OpenAI is now trying to incorporate corporations, because now we know with ChatGPT is the general population. But if now they're trying to partner with, well, not partner, they acquired the company that is built specifically for like digital experiences. To me, that says corporation, enterprises, businesses, you know, B2B. So it's interesting, and I wonder how they're going to start creating more advanced AI tools for bigger companies. So I thought that was, you know, an interesting thing for people to pay attention to. Next up we have,
let me jump in on that one real quick. So that one was funny because OpenAI right now is running a bit, well, assumption is running at a loss, right? OpenAI, I don't know if folks realize how much money OpenAI has raised, like to the tune of billions of dollars. Like they've raised a lot of money. So in my mind, they're going to have to acquire some of these companies that they can turn around for profit to be able to be successful, because I don't think OpenAI's current ChatGPT is making enough money through the subscriptions. Because it wasn't originally a money making thing. It was research, and then it now created its another arm that goes into more of the for profit stuff. Yeah. But they're gonna have to acquire, like any other company. If you're gonna stay in the game, you gotta acquire and gotta build yourself out and be able to grow. And the quickest way to grow is acquiring a company that already has it in house. So it totally makes sense. And I appreciate the digital experiences piece. Back to again what we were talking about a few minutes ago. Like, folks who are gonna win in the future for me is the folks who think about how we interact in this world in a different way, using these tools and in front of us that go beyond just a flat 2D experience of you and I on a video chat or et cetera. Like, folks are going to need more, particularly kids who are already in metaverse type worlds and have very different experiences growing up that aren't in the real world. They're going to have to figure out what that looks like for that next customer. I don't even think it's for us. I think it's for the customers that are behind us that are already very much so digital natives.
Yeah, definitely. I'm glad you said that, because that's definitely true. Because I'm sure they're thinking like 10 steps ahead, like you said. So that's definitely, I'm looking forward to see what they create. I wonder if, you know, especially like with like all those art immersive experiences and, you know, how much more fun events will be in the future too. You know, I think that's going to be interesting. All right. So next up we have with Alibaba is creating more new open source large language models. And to be honest, okay, we have to do another entire video on Alibaba because I don't think people understand how many models they have. The last time I checked, okay, it was over 600. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so while we are clapping and being happy that we're getting a few, they're like, you mean our 600th model? We've done that months ago, darling. We've already got that, boo. So it's like, y'all need to catch up, people. And that was before. They probably have way more now. And they're far more advanced. Like when I'm looking, I'll have to do like a video where I actually show you like the videos and things that they're doing.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
Because it is insane what they've done. And I wish some of this is why they're probably banned. We can't use a lot of their software over here because, to be honest, we are actually not allowed to access most of their software. You know, that's why so many people in the US, I know we get hyped over things, but I'm like, I don't think you guys have checked out what they have over there. Because they're banned. We can't even access them. VPN. But anyway, so you may have to be able to check out some stuff that you've never seen before. But I'll show you soon. It's insane. So anyway, next up, then we also have another controversial issue. You know, I love my controversies. So OpenAI. So OpenAI signed a deal with the Associated Press to license news stories. I couldn't hear you say it again.
I said, I didn't hear about this one.
Yeah. So the journalists were a bit upset because I'm like, are we going to get access to that information? What do you mean if we know that OpenAI is through ChatGPT can write articles? And the Associated Press is now, what, are they going to start writing just AI-generated articles? Is it going to be overseen by a professional journalist? What are going to be the parameters for them creating licensed news stories? Or is it in reverse?
Right. I'm like, meaning, what does that even mean? That's what I'm confused on literally what it means.
Stories that can then ChatGPT then can access and say verified. So I wonder if this is going to be a way for ChatGPT to become more of a licensed platform because they can say, oh, no, this is verified by a human being. And now the information, the references, the citations, everything has been reviewed. And then now you have access to accurate information because that would So I wonder if it's actually the reverse versus the other way around that people are more worried about because we know everything is moving now towards research. So for me, I'm thinking it's going to act the reverse to be licensed, to be verified. And actually, that's a huge moneymaker because then companies can say, hey, you can access our entire database of articles.
Give it to your consumers.
Exactly. Give it to your consumers on ChatGPT. It can have like a little check mark verified, and now your customers feel safe in using that data and information. I think that makes more sense than, oh, we're just writing random articles.
So I think it's actually what you just said. I think it actually is the goal is, I just quickly Google while we were sitting here. So I think it actually is that they're licensing to their text database to train the model to be better, which is needed because I'm sorry, I don't know if y'all are experiencing this recently, but ChatGPT-4 in particular, I have 4, it's getting a little wonky. In the last few months, it's not performing as well as it was when it first came out. So I do have concerns about that. And even to the point where, like, it was telling untruths in the beginning, but now, even when you put in the information, it's spitting out false information when literally the information you send, and I've literally had to say it, to it, hey, that's not correct. That's actually untrue. Yeah. And it'll say, oh yeah, you're right. Let me fix it again. And there are multiple times where it gets it wrong back to back and it's not able to be there. So just a reminder, it's still a chat tool. Like it's not this thing where we can rely on it in a way we could, but partnerships like this are going to be very crucial in the future.
Yeah. So I really hope that's what they're doing. I would actually like to see more companies doing, especially if they have like decades of data and research and information. That would be really
interesting. That's not going anywhere. That's not all the journal articles that humans don't read. That would be great to put those in there. And people can actually get the information in a way that's easy to digest.
Yeah. And they may have to also put like labels, like for example, a research article versus like an opion based article.
Oh yeah. So that would be amazing. Interesting
to see how that's affected. All right. So next up, there's...
Wait, I just thought about something.
Go ahead.
I just went to future version. Imagine though, if they had those partnerships and it could tell you if someone writes an opinion, imagine if you got flagged, if you were telling things that were not related to something. That would be cool. Or if there's a journal article where you have conflict, it'll say, well, this article is saying something else. I would love that just for the things I love and learning. Like for you to actually know what's an opinion, what's not, where they got the information from, being able to like tag it in that way. I would love that for AI to do that for us.
I mean, I love a good controversy. So that would be interesting.
That was not bad. That was fine. I'm okay with that one. I'm like, that should happen. They should have did that before.
People are going to say opinion is in the eye of the beholder. You know, we're going to see what's real and what's fake.
There's also facts in the opinions that we can also say, hey, there's actually a link here that shows the true facts related to that. I'm fine. People have their opinions for sure. But if you're saying an opinion and has a false information in it, that we can't do that with AI and then AI doing it, like that's too much.
But you know what happened with those kind of polls from like 2020 and people were like, well, this is factual. This isn't factual. We won't say the word, but we all know what that was. So who chooses what's right and what's wrong?
But that's my point. If AI has the actual information on like research, I'm talking research. I'm not talking about opinions. But imagine if we have research that has been verified and then someone says something and then literally it's like, oh, here's the article to what actually happened. Or here's the link to what actually happened.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, like we say gravity doesn't exist. Oh, no. Here is actually how we know gravity exists points to here. So then it helps to balance out because if these tools are going to be creating information, that people are concerned about misinformation. So they can have the data to actually just check it and say, hey, if you want to believe it, it's fine. But also, here's another thing to think about. Because humans, we are going to take it in. So you got to get folks. People believe what they read because we come from a culture that was very strict on what we write was true. We're not there anymore with digital writing. So you can't not train someone's brain to think what's written is true and then not give them the counter to what's happening.
My mind was running. I'm not going to say no. My mind was just running, just thinking about the issues. That's what I mean.
Like literally, someone said an opinion is not true, you just link to it and say, hey, here's another thing. You should read it or not. You have the choice too. So that works.
Yeah. All right. So next up, Google is also testing an AI tool that writes news articles as well. I think it's called the Genesis tool. So that will be interesting as well to see how that's going to affect, you know, more of like opinionated pieces. Because if it's AI and it's based on facts, then eventually it's not. It's like where are the opinions actually coming from? Because eventually is AI going to just start forming its own opinion about everything? It's like, well, that's
just mixing opinions up.
Type of situation. So
I think that's a part of the problem with ChatGPT now. Even when it tries to do an opinion, the opinion is based off of all the stuff it's read, and sometimes it just doesn't get it right. Like there's something about I'm less scared of, especially around like things that are very intrinsic to humans, those things being replaced. I think in areas where we repeat things over and over again, like creativity, it's still not creative. Yeah. It's using human stuff to be creative. If it gets to the point of it starts to create on its own, not using human databases and figuring it out, that's when I will say it can replace a human truly. I think it can replace humans where things are very much so a process, a procedure that doesn't have a lot of deviance and or a lot of data can help you make better decisions, I think is there. But creativity, I'm not there with it yet with creativity and having a thought of its own. It's just putting out thoughts we already know about. It just says it better than I can. If that makes sense.
Yeah. It's a lot. All right. So next up, we have Google DeepMind. This one, I think you'll like a lot because it's kind of connected. But basically, that tool is to give life advice, planning, and tutoring. Now, I do have to say a few things before, just to make sure we're saying it accurately. So they are creating, I think, like 21 tools. It's not meant for therapeutic use.
I need to hear that.
Yeah. Don't think you're going to have an AI psychologist yet. We do have to have ethical responsibility. So that's a good thing that they did that. They also mentioned that, yes, even with the Bard chatbot, anytime somebody asks for mental health advice, it's only going to give you resources where, when asked for therapeutic advice. Mm-hmm. So I wonder what kind of life advice or planning is it just going to be? I actually think it would be good for like businesses. Like, are they going to start then creating articles and then link to the businesses? Is this more like a business marketing tool where, you know, they can connect people with, you know, psychiatrists, psychologists, people who are actually professionals in the field to help individuals actually get the help that they need? So I just wonder how they're going to actually take it. And I would actually like to see Google partner with more companies. So like, you know, it's kind of like telehealth and then they can actually call somebody and just make it easier to use. So you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. So Google, Google has a lot of information just the way it has tagged all this data and has so much data and images and pictures. Mm-hmm. So I think it's super cool that they're trying to come out with a new resource that can help people. What I'm struggling with is anything called DeepMind. I think the name is a miss. Like, I'm just sorry. Marcus, don't call it DeepMind. Like, call it something else. Because then it gets you into this weird thing that it probably isn't that, right? Like, immediately I went into, is it about to tell people information about their psychosis, who they are, their psychology, what's going on in their brain? I don't want that, nor do I ever want that, right? I don't want that at all. But I do like the idea of if it is able to help people who, like you said, if it's helping with tutoring or helping people get access to information and be able to ask really cool things, I'm totally fine with that. I need to look into this one more. But from what, if it's purely on a language model that literally helps people and it's not a thing that's trying to do something weird, just don't be weird. Yeah. Just help people. People ask about mental health online. So I get it. Yeah. Google has access to that. But we ask all the questions we want to know in this world. We ask Google.
Yeah.
So if Google can literally answer those questions with the resource, I'm with you on that. And give people what they need. Like, I talked to you about this before with the legal field. Legal questions on Google are not good. Like, on any search, like, period. They're horrible because sites haven't been whitelisted. It hasn't been built in that way on the back end where it's easy to find legal information. The only thing that comes to the top is ads. So if it can help people get access to information and resources, whether it's someone who needs help, because people do type in stuff on Google, that's concerning. Imagine if Google could give them a resource versus something bad happening to someone. I'm here for that.
Yeah.
But I definitely will look at that one a little bit more.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So, we can definitely do an update on that once you get more information on it. Well, like once they release more information, because I think it's just like in the beginning stages. So I don't know if we have to wait for that to get more info on it. Next up we have, this is more of like a interesting tidbit of information. So one of the creators from IBM Watson, David Ferrucci, I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. He created a new AI startup called Elemental Cognition, and he currently raised about $60 million for it. So
way to go.
So I was like, that's amazing. And I just wonder what he's actually going to create. Because like I said, Watson is actually one of my favorites. It's probably one of the tools that a lot of, professional research scientists use. Typically, they're going to be using in the beginning, we would access IBM products because there really were some of the primary individuals who were working with AI and given the proper resources. So that's typically what most people were using as professionals. So I'm interested to see how he's going to really push AI to the next level. So that's something that we're going to watch out for in the future. But I did want to mention that so people can follow it. And it is called Elemental Cognition. I'm not sure if I mentioned it already, but All right. Yeah. We're almost there, guys. There was so many updates. And I still had to cut.
And I've been behaved. I did not point out. I did not. Very relaxed. Yes.
I had to cut out probably 10 to 15 more topics because there were just too many.
Yeah, totally fine. We have a limited amount of time, so I get it.
So next up, we do have to talk a bit about one of my favorite image to video sites. And of course, that's Runway ML. And now they added a new watch feature so that you can share your AI generated videos like within a community. So I think that's really inspiring because if you're trying to get ideas, you're trying to see what other people are making. Like that's a great way to like really see what the community is actually building with it. And, you know, it's going to inspire you and get you more creative. So I just wanted to mention that, like now I was working on making like my 3D avatar and trying to make a video and it was going to be through Runway ML. So I'm like really excited to see what other people create, you know, because it's just so inspiring. People are doing crazy stuff that I didn't even think about before. So just to see what's possible, it's like, it's amazing. Next up, we have the U.S. Department of Energy. They're allocating $16 million for 15 projects, and they're going to be focused on AI and machine learning for advancement.
Is that enough money?
I don't know. Well, we're going to see
that
soon.
That seems low. Sorry. That seems very low.
Well, I'm not sure what part of the budgeting campaign they're in, but they're going to it's specifically for the advancement. It's for the advancement in nuclear physics research. So it is a very specific topic.
You said 16 million, right?
Yes. For 15.
For how many projects?
15. I don't think it was billion. Okay. I'm pretty sure that I wrote million. There's no way it was billions. I'm pretty sure it was millions.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
No, but million is, that's not a lot of money for 15 products. It's like a million and some change each.
Yeah.
Okay. Continue. Sorry. I'm shocked at the number.
Yeah, you guys can double check me if it was billions, but I'm pretty sure it was millions and not billions.
No, I'm pretty sure it is millions, but that to me is not enough money to have meaningful research in anything.
Yeah.
Let alone AI.
Maybe they were excited by watching Oppenheimer. I'm not sure. They're like, we're going to.
Something happened. Even that had more money than that, but go ahead.
Next up, Meta, they're working on their code generation AI tool, and it's called Code Llama. So once again, more companies are getting into the coding side. So that's a great thing. Then we have that the FDA, they actually cleared AI software to detect lung nodules and x-rays. So I was like, you know, another piece of how helpful AI can actually be to help people's lives. I mean, save their lives. So especially now, you know, with the FDA, so I wonder how many more types of software they're actually going to start implementing to help people, you know, really find out what issues they have, you know, we need people. That's the foundation. So I was really happy, like that really put a smile on my face, you know, because I wonder how many people, you know, they'll be saved by that kind of software. And then the last one.
Let me jump in on that one real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
So that one is one, again, back to healthcare, because that's very close to my heart. I know recently they were talking about how some AI models could identify breast cancer in a patient quicker than a human, or almost better than a human, or something like that. I can't remember the exact percentage. But I think it's going to be so important for AI to be trained on images of diseases, of or looking at how folks' labs are and what that can mean. I am so excited for that world. So I'm so glad that they are using that, because think about when 100 years ago with medical field is till today, and think about in the future when we literally will not have the same issues we have, because there will be advanced technologies working in our power. Like, to me, this is the power of AI, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Chats and all that stuff is all cool, but the power is to take all of the intelligence that humans have had and allow us to get information from everything we've learned over our time here on this earth. So I think that is just so critical, and I'm excited about that. But what is last one? Hopefully it's a good one.
It's an interesting one.
Okay.
A little, you know.
Help her, please.
You know what that is. A little controversial. But it's more about the AI drones building an apartment building in like 24 hours. Did you see that video?
I did have not, but you just stressed me out. I have not. I need to look it up. I just got stressed out hearing you. But
the reason I brought this up. Okay.
Where did they build it? What country?
This was in China.
Okay. Makes sense.
You know, they're like, done. The reason I brought this up, the reason is going to be slightly controversial. I mean, just a tad bit, you know, I'm going to be pretty calm. You guys remember what happened in Florida with the immigration laws and when what happened to many individuals who were immigrants and they were doing construction work. When they tried to replace those individuals with citizens, they were not typically as efficient. There were not as many individuals who were there. They were not trained in construction. And a lot of projects had to be halted, right? What happens? Mm-hmm. Loss of jobs, right? Loss to the economy, to the local economy in Florida. We're talking about, you know, restaurants. We're talking about gyms. Oh, yeah. You know, all those things where people are coming to socialize, to visit, to enjoy the area, right? It's the trickle-down effect. So before, when that happened in Florida, many people were talking about, oh, man, where are all those jobs people are taking? And when it's like the jobs are available, people, and people were like, no, or they paid too low, or they were just not qualified. They had to be trained. Mm-hmm. Things were not going to be able to be done on time. So then the reality is now, what happens when you don't need either? When they're not using immigrant population.
I was going a whole other direction. Go ahead.
Well, because we have to always bring it back to the economy, the society, human people. Oh, yeah. I want to end it back on us. People.
But America, at no time soon, is letting a drone build a building. Building codes here, just the laws and the policy, that will take probably my lifetime. I believe that truly.
I disagree.
I think it would be bad We're struggling with building codes even to this day, and they're so stringent. Like a concrete build, I don't even know what they built. So I need to look it up and see what they built. But
it's like an apartment building. It was gigantic.
But that's my point. So what, they did 3D printing or how did they build it?
I didn't look at every single step, but these were done in 24 hours. Now they did have a few people. Okay. They did have a few people.
There's no way they did that. And it's the code in that way.
But I feel that, look, it only takes one company to be within the code, within the innovation, making sure everything is done properly to then inspire a whole bunch of other companies to do the same. So,
I'm here for that. I
just wonder how that's going to start. Because look, let me fast forward to a couple videos that I was going to do. I was going to do a video on, we know that AI is typically going to remove individuals who are college graduates. That means even with the situation with UPS, you saw how now they're getting paid way like over $100,000.
Good money.
Yeah. It's like, hey, UPS, hello. You know, I'm single. So I was going to talk about the dating pool and the difference between, college graduates who were always like at the peak, right? That's the high value man. You want the 100K earner. And UPS is like, well, they make 100 grand too. So if we're looking at the white collar workers who were going to be put out of work by AI, who would eventually then have to maybe enter the blue collar field. And I was thinking, well, the blue collar workers are going to be now placed at a higher level because they're going to be the ones with the benefits, the higher paid wages, because these are jobs that have to be done by hand. We're talking about laborers, right? It's more important. But if we're starting to now foreshadow and project how drones and how AIs can be combined with robotics in order to now also do construction jobs to reduce the labor of people who don't have training, it's like they don't need to train. I mean, they're already trained with AI, so it's like they don't have to go through the physical process. They can work 24 hours. Right. They're not going to need like health insurance and all of that other extra.
Oh, yeah. I understand that 100%.
I just wonder, you know, it's like I'm already, the timeline I had is gone. It's out the window, right? Because advancements are being made so quickly. So I just wonder, you know, that I wonder what's going to happen with that in the U.S. How long will it take? Could it be a few years? Could it be much faster? And then how is that going to put, you know, white collar workers, blue collar workers, if they're both not being replaced by AI? It's like, I don't even know what's going to happen next.
I guess I think I'm less, I'll say this because government in the US moves slow. So you're going to have two worlds. Like there's a world, like let's not forget, I think those movies get it. Like the ones with the dystopia future, they get it where it's like high tech, but also high poverty and high issues. Like nowhere in the future videos is everything just perfectly working together. Like I think that we as humans, we're just not as together as a group to do all that in one place. I believe there will be cities that are more advanced and there'll be places that adopt it. But I do not believe in our lifetime personally, even with all the advancements, that we'll be able to see a dystopian future that has AI and robots doing everything for us. I think there's still going to be a heavy component of humans just because we're not integrated in a large society. And the global world is also not integrated. So you can go to another place that looks like what America looks like this year in 20 years. You can go to another place of what even looks like America in 1900. Like the world, even as advanced as the world is, we still have people living on less than a dollar a day. Like, so I understand one part of it, but I also understand that life just doesn't move as smooth and connected together. Yes, there will be pockets that it happens, but also every innovation we've ever had, a new job will happen. Maybe everyone is a content creator, because everyone doesn't have to work in the same way and you just get money off your data. Like maybe that's what it is, but there's going to have to be, and government will not let it be where society doesn't have any purpose. Even if with big businesses, they're not going to let it get to that point of private sector running everything to the point of it does not need any humans. So I don't think that will be a thing that government doesn't do anything about, just like they did something about China and the AI chips. They will put regulations in to make sure that competition exists and that people, the majority of the population has to be successful, because the US, one thing is going to worry about is its economy. And as long as that, what they're doing right now, I think it is going to help the economy and people can find different fields and different jobs. And there's still things that AI just can't do the same as a human, and people aren't there yet. The kids are going to probably be more interested in those worlds, but it's too many people who are over a certain age that would rebel against it for so long. People are still on flip phones. Like, I need to understand that even though smartphones are heavily existing, people are still on flip phones. Some people do not have a laptop in their home. Like, that is the reality that we face in this world. So I think that there will be a separation and there will be a big gap, but I don't think it will catch up in all sectors in that way. I think you'll see it in pockets, and the pockets will get really good at it.
Well, I think you even said it best. I think that's the perfect balance, though.
Yeah, I think it's a good to have a mix. Even with cars, like, it's gonna, all these companies are now doing EV, and people don't even realize EVs were out when cars first came out. Some of the earliest EVs existed. I actually went to a car museum last year, and they had electric vehicles from the early 1900s in there. They didn't get adoption, but now EVs, everyone's doing EVs and saying that we need to have full EV implementation, when the reality is, folks are saying we can't have full EV implementation because of the electric grid and what that means. And then what it means to do all those batteries, like, just by pure resources, we don't have what we need to be able to do things at the level that we hope we would able to, we would be able to do. So I just want us to remember that it still involves a lot of human components of a human being involved. So I'm not scared of AI, because I'm like, I think the time, even though stuff is happening quick, I think we'll have time as humans to adjust. iPhone came out in 08, we adjusted and we use it in ways that we never thought we could use it. Internet came out and people made so much money off the internet, more they could have ever made without it. AI will also do the same thing. So I'm just looking for, how can we use it to help people better their lives? And in that, let's make sure people are getting the training they need in some job or field that they can contribute to society. So sorry for this soapbox moment.
You said it. I agree with you. You said everything perfectly. So that's it, man. We went through all of these updates. We made it. Thank you for sticking with us. I think you can go ahead and close us on out, Amber, because we had many updates this week.
This has been fun. I love all the conversations that we had. We will be back next week. We're trying to figure out the whole channel thing. So I will definitely every week post a podcast for this. So please make sure you check out the podcast, AI Decodes the System. Check out Marcy Newell's page as well on YouTube, and AI Decodes on YouTube. We'll try to figure it out, because the way copyrights are set up in YouTube, you're not letting me be great. both of us own the copyright. Let us both post it to our pages. But yeah. If you don't see it on one of our pages, it's on the other. So make sure you follow us both. Hit that notification. If that is on YouTube, I know it's on Instagram and other sites. So yeah, make sure you get our information and that you're following us. And thank y'all again. It's been great. And enjoy the weekend. This is AI News of the Week with your go-to girls for AI, Amber Ivy and Marcy Noel. Have a good one.
Peace.
Bye-bye.
That is a wrap for the AI Decodes the System podcast. I really hope you all enjoyed the conversation. If you like the content, please make sure to follow, download, subscribe to, and share the show. Make sure you show us that love so that we know you're getting value out of the content. Also, feel free to rate us and comment. We also have a Patreon link in the show notes, but I just want to thank you all so much and see you next time as we decode the system.